101X Alternative Austin. CJ Morgan Show.
Has your mood been improved by this new carpet smell at the radio station?
Maybe. Actually, the new carpet feel, too. Like, when you walk down the hall, your feet kind of move like a little bit like they're on, like, new-fallen snow.
I love it. And the only thing I'm missing is the, there was an area of dog pee that kind of looked like a stormtrooper helmet. But other than that, it's clean. It's good. They didn't do it in the studios. Kind of a bummer.
I'm sad about that, not getting the new carpet in the studios.
A few people have complained about the paint job we did, which are two different shades of like a gray-blue, different on each wall, and the new carpet. And they're saying it's depressing, but I disagree.
Yeah?
I think that we are very casino hotel conference room. The lighting's a little dimmer. Because what I'm worried about, what I think people wanted was like a brighter color or a white or brighter lighting. To me, that's not more invigorating. Oh. That's more institutionalized.
I wanted to go super, super, super dark gray, like almost black. That's, to me, is a preferred look for any kind of radio station. The stations I've been in that are always my favorite, very dark.
But that, dark. See, that does tip into maybe a little depressing or psych ward. I don't know. But
a nice dark slate gray,
a classy gray.
What's happening with this blue is there is an institutional tone about the blue.
See, I think it's just dark enough, but it lets in just enough natural light, and it puts me in a better mood. I mean, yeah, I don't know if you've ever had remodeling at your office, but a lot of times when we've done it here or other places do it, it's that same like brighter lights, brighter paint, like generic work carpet like we have here in the studios. But this feels very like I'm walking. When you go to a Vegas hotel and you're not in the main rooms of the casino floor, but you go up to the conference room, the second and third floor.
Right.
And it's not the quietest trippy carpet, but it's got some design in it.
Yeah.
And it's soft.
Well, you get those good designs like that are nice too, because that way the next time someone's dog does pee on the carpet, it hides it a little better.
Yeah. Luckily, we've significantly decrease the amount of dogs here by significantly decreasing the amount of employees with dogs. So I'm probably going to have to take my little one here less because I don't want it just to be pepperoni piddle spots. But the good news is it's a dark enough gray on the carpet that it'll blend in.
Perfect.
You won't see it as much. So, I know a lot of people are complaining and a lot of you out there probably feel the same way if you have a new office or remodels. But I like it. I like the dimmer lighting. That lets enough natural light in. I like the smell of the paint, the smell of the carpet, because it smells new. And walking back through here, I'm like, oh, this is new. It's different.
It feels good. One person said, well, it just doesn't seem very comfortable. And I got to say, I don't care about work being comfortable. I don't want anything that wants... I don't want to stay here any longer, really, than I need to.
Yeah, but while we're here, we should feel comfortable. Because there's nothing worse than that, like...
Yeah, but you know how sometimes you take your shirt
light
off
lighting.
And you hold me against your bosom?
Yeah.
That's all the comfort I need.
And you don't want to stay like that too much because then people start asking questions about us.
They're not going to ask questions. Yeah. That's just good old-fashioned at-work camaraderie.
They're just bonding as they do. But
we're
anyhow,
doing a little skin-on-skin bonding is all. Mm,
if we got a little pep in our step, it's because the carpet's new. It smells good, has yet to be tinkled on by dogs, the paint's new, and we're going to do some skin-on-skin. So, welcome to the show. All right, boo-boo, let's have a little picnic. Today's the greatest because it's National Picnic Day, encouraging you to get out and go have a picnic. Gentlemen, when's the last time you've done this? Oh, Matt, you have kids. You
seem kids, more like a picnic guy. I don't want to be outside picnicking.
Well, it's great weather to do it, and if you're a single or early in datinghood with Austin, I wouldn't do this as a first date because there's a lot that can go wrong, but, you know, I've had having a picnic date have been very successful for me, so it ended up turning into a dicknick. Know what I'm point being.
I have no idea what that means. What do you mean by that?
Let's talk about how great picnics are. What is a picnic? Basically, It's getting out in nature, grabbing your blanket, grabbing a little cooler, a basket, taking snacks, going to a park, going to an outdoor place, and having a little snack where you usually wouldn't.
Forgetting we're in Texas. You mentioned all the positives. You haven't mentioned bugs once yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say,
is it okay if you just throw a blanket down on the floor in your house with the AC and have a picnic inside?
Yeah, because there's rarely AC in the park. Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Picnics are not just for you. They're also for the ants, for bees, for seagulls if you're on the beach. I remember I had a date once. We were in Port Aransas, and she wanted to do early morning locks on the beach. So it's just fish and bagels, and the birds are just like...
You got to keep that as simple, in my opinion. You just have sandwiches and some fruit, maybe, cheese.
Yeah, I mean, can I...
Why would you do brunch or something like on
a... Like, if I drink a cooler full of beer in a park with a bro, is that a picnic? If so, then I'm all down to picnic.
But I think it is.
I think having a blanket is an essential. So you and your bro have to lay down a blanket.
Be on top of the blanket, not underneath
and it can't just be in the back of your truck, because that's a tailgate.
Yeah, I'm okay with tailgating then, I guess. I think I have a much bigger problem with actual picnicketing.
Well, the best part about tailgating is you can go sit in the front and turn the AC on.
Turn the AC, yeah. Great news, Spencer. It says if the weather does not cooperate, you can have a picnic on your living room floor.
Hell yeah, I do that every day.
But just
wait, I don't have a blanket.
That's a little sadder.
Damn or food. He just falls asleep depressed on the floor.
If you're wondering what to bring to a picnic, I found on the same website that says today's picnic day, the 7 suggestions to take to a picnic, and I'm going to tell you, most of them are awful.
Really?
Awful, and I'll explain why, and I'll explain what you should bring to a picnic. Number 1, fried chicken. Fried chicken, the top item to bring to a picnic.
Perfect. You can wipe your hands off on the blanket.
A couple things, whether you're...
Asterisk, and I may agree.
Whether you're oven frying it, picking it up to go, or cooking it, whatever, it doesn't travel... super well.
Well, this is where my asterisk comes in.
And you're bringing it in a container. Are you saying cold chicken?
Cold chicken. Chicken, yeah, you get it the night before, it goes in the fridge and it stays cold. Now, cold chicken, cold fried chicken, is actually delicious on a picnic.
The only thing that I would disagree about the chicken is when I go to a picnic, I want to be light and quick, and I don't want there to be a lot of trash. Because you don't know where there's a trash can. You don't know if there's bears. So I don't want to have bones and rinds and stuff.
Oh, I just eat the bones.
You know what? That's how you get the marrow.
Delicious, yeah.
Feed them to your dog. Don't do that, please. Pasta salad. Again.
Hey, now I'm mad. Now I want off of this picnic.
Pasta salad's a lot to make. It's filling and...
packaging.
I'm assuming.
If you buy it, yeah.
Now, you're going to have a cooler. You're going to have a way to keep stuff cool. But this is something... A picnic basket, picnic stuff, still going to get warm. I don't want to eat a pasta salad outside when it's hot.
No. Also, I don't know what's wrong with my brain, but I think it's because of my mom and her friends. But since I was a child, pasta salad always seemed like, should I even say it out loud? Girl's food.
A grandma food. Not just women, but older women with blue hair.
It's never, and my mother would make it. She's like, do you want pasta salad? I remember thinking, I just want peanut butter, Mom. I don't want pasta salad. I want a peanut butter.
This one really confuses me. Deviled eggs.
Heck yeah.
Which makes me think,
that's
this
a picnic staple.
Who doesn't love a warm,
deviled egg?
Yeah. Sitting out in the sun all day.
It slides down real easy when it's
warm. A lot of prep. It doesn't travel well. It falls and it gets mashed up and it's warm. I'm thinking now reading this that maybe they did this in England. That deviled egg seems like a European English picnic
treat.
Not in Texas.
This is ChatGPT's idea of a picnic.
You know what? Most likely ChatGPT did write this.
I would like to throw this in when my wife goes to Milwaukee in the Wisconsin area, up into the lakes, too. Every summer she goes up there. The high during the day is maybe 72 degrees, and because it's so cold in the wintertime, there are no bugs whatsoever.
Mm. So there it might work.
For there, I think it's actually really wonderful to lay out a blanket and watch the waves roll in on the Great Lakes and enjoy a picnic. It's just in Texas. It's just snakes. It's snakes and scorpions and bugs.
Those eggs get sweaty real quick.
And I'm still worried that they're going to bust up and move. Plus, you got to boil the eggs the night before. You got to make it. I'm talking quick and easy. Watermelon. You think, yeah, watermelon's great for a picnic.
I'm okay with this.
Disagree.
Really?
It's too heavy, it's too big, and you're left with a lot of rind and a lot of trash and a lot of watermelon you're not going to eat. I say Go perfect for a barbecue or tailgate. Hey. Go with something smaller, cantaloupe.
Aren't the rinds,
honeydew?
Aren't they biodegradable? You can just throw them in.
No,
anywhere.
You don't want to do that because it's bad for wildlife.
How is it bad for wildlife?
Because you don't want them eating that natural food and getting used to it. Also, it attracts things like raccoons that mess with other wildlife.
Watermelon grows wild here in Texas,
but you don't want to throw the rinds.
He said, "Not knowing if that's the truth."
A few of the other ones aren't bad: sandwiches, lemonade, brownies. Sandwiches. Hot things that are quick, easy to make. Hot dogs you wrap in foil. You can keep your condiments in a little cooler with ice.
How do you feel about chips?
Quick and easy.
I think chips is a solid one, but you're anti-trash.
Anything you can eat, and well,
chips come in a bag.
Bags are easier to toss than rinds. And also, if you're using Ziploc bags, then you can use that for your extras instead of chip bags. There you go. Happy picnic day. Get out and go snack on something.
Turns out being a great parent is the same as being a great day.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
Welcome to the Parent Pickup, where you can learn life advice, whether you're getting your kids in the car, heading home, or you're just listening to a dumbass radio show, which means you're already at your wit's end and at a critical low. Matt's going to teach us some things.
Yeah, you know, I always say it. I like to try to find some parenting pickup subject that applies to lots of people out there, not just the folks with kids. And I like this. It's people who are psychologists, psychiatrists getting together and say, here are the ways to create more meaningful memories. Now, it's supposed to be for kids, but as I read through it, guess what? A lot of this stuff works for dates and dating.
Okay.
So I thought I'd bring it in because you just have to change your mindset a little bit. And it's all about harnessing the power of firsts. At least today's lesson is. We'll talk about more of these in the coming weeks. Novel experiences turn out to be extra sticky in our brains, meaning they tend to not want to disappear. You know how I guess the youth call them core memories now?
Sure.
Anyway, which do you remember first? Your first kiss you ever had or your 30-second kiss you ever had?
Definitely first kiss.
Yeah. It was with your grandfather, right?
Well, the first, kiss with someone I wanted to kiss.
Oh, it was later?
Yeah.
I was in
sixth grade. She was in seventh grade. We were in a storm tunnel.
Storm tunnel?
Yeah.
Nice.
And my friends, I was so excited to tell them, and because they were walking up to meet us because we were all hanging out. She'd come to our neighborhood.
Right.
And they were so mad and, dismissive and crappy to me, and that's when I learned what it's like having a girlfriend.
Yeah. Michelle Fontenot. We were at the roller rink. Everybody turned their backs to us in a semicircle so that we were kind of hidden. We went to kiss, but I just spread my lips, but with my teeth together. I didn't know what I was doing. And so she just kissed the front of my teeth with a peck. Real romantic kind of kiss there in fifth or sixth grade or whatever it was.
But yeah, you remember it very well.
You do remember. Well, that same thing can happen when you have firsts with your kids. And that's why some of these experts recommend visiting a new place every year. Now, I sometimes get in the habit of taking my kids on the same trips. We'll go see grandma. We'll go see grandpa. We'll go.
You know
here,
what?
There.
Those do blend in. We went to Wyoming a lot. I went camping a lot. But I remember going to Yellowstone because we did it once. It was new.
Right.
Well, I see what you're saying here.
Experts say, hey, you don't have to go. It's not like you have to go to New York and then go to San Francisco and then go to Montreal. You can literally just draw a circle around your hometown, and inside of that circle, there's bound to be parks and restaurants
and small
towns.
And Chili's and Olive Garden. You don't have to go to Cheddar's every Friday.
You don't have to go to Cheddar's every Friday. There's walking parks around here. There's waterfalls around the Austin area. There's all these places that you can make firsts, even for just weekend road trips.
And by these firsts, what the subject of this is you're creating core memories, that stick out and things that are different because they're new and they're first.
Yeah. Now, another thing that you can do with your kids or you can do with a date is in the same zone of
fake
firsts,
a robbery. Hire a guy to rob your family and beat him up.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. That will make a memory. I don't know if it's the same great. I mean, it's the kind of thing you absolutely would do.
No.
Yes, it is.
Because those things backfire.
Okay. Doing classes together. Getting the memory. So you, as a parent, can take classes with your kids. My daughter recently mentioned that she wanted to take a cooking class. And there's cooking classes at Whole Foods, Central Market, places like that. Do that together. But also cooking classes on a first date, not a bad idea. You have somebody else doing some of the talking and the focus.
So it's less awkward.
It gives you little breaks.
It's
and
not
then you're,
it's not a concert or a movie to
where you're not supposed to talk at all.
You have moments to,
exactly.
to interact.
Yeah. But also, someone's carrying a little bit of the load for you, because instead of you having to carry conversation for 2 hours on a first date, there's the hi as you get there, the hellos or whatever. Then as the class is going on, you can make little remarks.
You're here having and there. Fun. You're laughing. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And so and it's also a great thing to do with kids. So anyway, I'm not saying date your kids. That's not what I'm saying. And I want to actually... I really want to stress, don't date your kids.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's a lot of those TikTok moms have, like, teenage sons that they go on sun dates, and it's like, y'all are weird. You're having, you're using your attention of being recently single, and you're dumping it on an excuse. I don't know. It's
hey,
just
that
weird.
Might be some of our listeners, and let's give them some grace.
Okay, fair enough.
But what I'm saying is, harness the power of firsts.
Here we are. It's time to play a game called Weezer the Juice.
Weezer little juice.
It's Spencer versus Matt. Each of you are playing on behalf of a listener that has called in. It is Weezer the Juice. Questions about Weezer, Flaming Lips, and Dinosaur Jr., because they're all going to be here together playing.
I'm excited about that show.
I am excited as well. You know how the game works. Buzz in when you think you know the answer. You don't lose a point. If you get it incorrect, your opponent gets a shot, as always.
Is this a multiple choice one?
It is unfortunately not. Because that turns it into a guessing game. And this is, I want y'all to be serious as the listeners are about winning these tickets.
Okay.
Let's do it. Question number one, gentlemen. It is Weezer the Juice. Let's play the game.
Weezer the Juice.
When combined with juice, this drink is a favorite of many Compton rappers.
Matt.
Matt.
That would be gin. Gin and juice.
Gin and juice is correct.
My mind, on my money, on my money, on my mind.
1 point for our dear friend Matt, but don't worry. This game continues, and it can be anyone's. Question number two. This recently deceased football player was acquitted of murder.
Matt. Oh, man.
Matt.
Damn
you're
it.
You're thinking about Orenthal James Simpson or OJ the Juice Simpson.
Correct. It is Weezer the Juice. Questions about Weezer, Flaming Lips, and Dinosaur Jr. This juice is spurted from volcanoes and probably burned dinosaurs.
Matt.
Matt.
What is lava?
Lava is correct. Matt running away with it.
That's not a juice.
But it's okay.
It's volcano juice.
Yeah,
it's also the same juice if you squeeze a zit.
It's the juice from a volcano. We are now going up into the 2 point realm. We are now worth.
This is the realm where I'm going to do
2 points. And so we hope.
Hell yeah.
Spencer comes marching back. Here we go, gentlemen. Spencer, so far, he's...
No, wheezing the juice!
You're not wheezing the juice, Spencer. You gotta do that. This famous drink turned one Simpsons tavern into the hottest place in Springfield. This famous drink turned one Simpsons tavern into the hottest place in Springfield.
Spencer.
Yes.
Flaming Moe?
Correct. It is the Flaming Moe. 2 points for Spencer.
Dang.
He is back in the game.
You let me have that one.
Weezer and the Juice. Questions about Weezer, Flaming Lips, and Dinosaur Jr. Here we go. 2 points. To buy drinks at a concert, you might have to sell off your stocks, real estate, and business holdings. This accumulation of cash is called going...
This accumulation of cash. Oh, Matt.
Matt.
Going liquid.
Yes, correct. Ah, 2 points for Matt.
Now.
This guy knows.
5-2.
No, it's, that one was kind of unfair to Spencer because he's never seen money.
Yeah, I don't have any assets or...
Well, but
stand up in those shorts and tell me you don't have any assets, my friend.
Well, but at this point, you got to guess anything's going to be juicy or gooey or liquidy, something like that.
Hey.
Let's go.
Says the game's master who made these questions.
This juice hardened into amber and contained a mosquito
Matt,
full of... Yes.
What is sap?
Yes, tree sap is correct. I'll finish the question. This juice hardened into an amber and contained a mosquito full of dino DNA, allowing scientists to clone a T-Rex, and tree sap is correct, or just sap. 3 point questions. The best Spencer can do is tie. Here we go. Your first 3 point question. A flaming juice from your dinger might be a sign you need to get checked for.
Oof.
Spencer.
Yes.
Weezer.
No, that is
Matt.
That
I'll
is
go with. I think that one's going to be gonorrhea.
Honestly, any STD would have worked because you know syphilis could do it, but gonorrhea is the main one that you know the burning.
And gonorrhea is also the clap, correct?
Yes.
Which is what you're going to do for these bands when you go see them, right?
Yeah.
Clap?
Absolutely.
Cheeks.
All right.
Hey, I know that the person that Spencer's playing for right now is feeling bad on the phone because they realize it's Spencer's problem. But in Spencer's defense, he wasn't trying very hard because he already has tickets to this show.
They're very true. Yeah. And he doesn't need you to take him with him because he's already in his way in. All right, here we go, gentlemen.
Last question.
Weezer Little Juice. No, Weezing the Juice.
Weezer the Juice. Questions about Weezer, Flaming Lips, and Dinosaur Jr. Matt Spinney playing on behalf of listeners. Matt has 7 points. Spencer has 2. This last one's worth 5.
Oh, I see what you just
tied up.
He has lied and
your
made
final
up something
question.
Else to put a little bit of stress on the team.
What is the inspiration for this contest?
Spencer.
Matt.
I heard Spencer.
Okay.
Weezer.
Incorrect. Matt.
You mean the Weezer the Juice?
Yes, that is the playing that sound effect is just simply doing this is the
Weezer the Juice.
Is the entire reason I came up with a question about juices.
What is that from?
I don't know what it's from and I can't answer.
Encino Man. That should have been the 10-point question.
No, I'm still ahead. I win.
You do win. Congrats, Nick. Fan life is again making a comeback, it seems, every couple of years, starting with the millennials, even late-age Gen X. You hear about van life, and now Gen Z, the younger class, Gen Alpha, whatever, they're talking about van life, and I just have to say, to me, this seems, there's one or two people, ultra campy libertarian types that want to destroy the government, or people that grew up rich, because van life does not appeal to me. As someone who had a family van, whose second car was a van, I don't get the van life thing. And you
never
know,
had a bed in your van?
Yeah, it had a pull-out couch that turned into a bed.
Oh, that's rad.
But I don't want to do van life. Essentially, what van life is, in the recent survey among Gen Zers says that one-third of them would give up and everything and live in a van, do the van life.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that. I think it's a weird, bizarre thing that you grew up with money in a nice house to want to live in something small and compact.
Go ahead.
You have to say you're actually an adult, though, and you're actually thinking about these things, and these people are younger, and I don't think they're fully using their imagination to take in the entire scope of what living in a van would be like, which is
true.
A,
crappy. I would also say that the backgrounds of what works on TikTok and Instagram are really nice Sprinter vans that have been remodeled and redone.
And those are not cheap.
Right. No, what I will say are there are, for every one of those, there's 100 people living in a Honda Civic or an old beat-up Forester or what have you that are still traveling to the same places and living out of a car. And I think it's kind of a cool thing if you're younger and you don't have a lot of... You're not really tethered to something. It's kind of can be a good thing to do to go.
Yeah,
I like the idea of a gap year and going and trap because, frankly, you very quickly life starts and the opportunity to do that disappears.
Yeah,
it doesn't become more difficult. It literally disappears and becomes unattainable. There's no way I could have a van life right now. I have 2 young kids. I have a wife. I have people that depend on me. It just will never, ever, ever happen for me.
It's also hard to keep things organized. It's like I love camping and doing that, but I feel like most of my time when I'm camping, besides playing with fire, is cleaning and organizing and putting things away.
Because it's all brand new to you. That's part of van life, is that you start to learn where everything goes. I spent a full month one time backpacking and camping, and when I did that, by the end of the first week, you know where everything goes, and you've jettisoned about half of your stuff into the trash that you realize you don't need.
I guess I'm talking about doing it. You're saying doing it by yourself, but I'm assuming I would have friends or family doing it.
You can't van life with people.
Which then that would be...
Remember, van life is just super lonely, except for the nights that you hook up.
Yeah, ask Gabby Petito about that. Definitely don't van life with people.
Did you just make it super, super terrible?
Because that's one of the things I wanted to bring up, is she did that and was, you know, murdered by her boyfriend.
One example.
But she wasn't murdered because she was in a van, though.
Well, she was doing it with someone else. You get annoyed with each other quick. But it's just funny that enough time, I guess, has passed from that to where it's becoming popular and trendy again, because to me it just seems It seems fictional, miserable, and it seems like people that kind of don't have to work or had money or grew up with it can just easily go and do it, which, yeah, again, traveling the United States would be fun. I also, Matt, I completely agree. There should be a gap year. You know, when you take time off from college or from work or whatever, when you're young, it's hard to get back into the flow of doing it. And that's why they tell you not to do it.
Right.
But man, I think that stuff is so important to actually do, whether it's military service, Peace Corps, or just traveling the country. Young people should do something for a year or two that's completely different. I just don't know how these van lifers think it'll work. Also, the key thing about van lifing is, where and how would I deal with my struggle? What do I text y'all? Why am I late? Why do I text y'all every morning?
Because you got runny buns.
My tummy's grumbling.
You have a real problem with your innards and your plumbing.
Oh, no.
But that's where, I mean, for all the years that I was a stand-up comic and I was driving from city to city.
Are you going to KOAs? Are you going
to
Bucky's?
Listen here, I'm
going
to give away a secret to everybody out there.
You just use a bucket,
if you're
right?
on the road and you need to doodle, even small towns have those, like, La Quintas or whatever. There's always a bathroom somewhere in the lobby of a hotel, you know? And you just walk in with confidence, like you're staying there, and those are usually very, very clean.
Yeah, if you can.
And nobody's in them because everybody else there is in the bathroom in their own room.
Yeah.
So you've got privacy. It's quite nice. Trust me,
if
somebody
you can handle it, sit in the lobby for a moment and drink a coffee.
I drove like a million miles.
I did that at a hotel
as
to domain once.
Yeah, as a stand-up, and I'm telling you right now, I became very friendly with every Red Roof and Lion Inn in this great state of ours.
Okay, that's the key tip I was looking for. Well,
saying don't do it. Don't do van life. It's bad.
Well, I mean,
he's
concerned about bedpan life. That's his worry. Okay.
Very much so. What do we need in Austin? I mean, we get a lot of yoga places, Pilates. We get a lot of real estate agents. And we have a lot of food and a lot of restaurants. But Matt, you talked about this on your show, and it really piqued my interest. 512-835-1015 or at CJ Morgan Show. What does the city need? What are we missing? And as y'all were discussing this, there was one glaring thing that stuck out in my brain.
I want to hear it.
I want to know what y'all think that the city needs that we're missing. Okay. Some people said a good selection of Jewish delis.
Yeah, we don't really have a Jewish deli.
Italian markets.
We don't really have, and we got into a lot of food stuff. We don't really have what you would consider a true diner. There are very few when you talk about, like, especially if you've come from the Northeast. There are some other missing things as well. What was your thing?
To me, the biggest thing, late night.
Yeah.
We have a very poor, very bad, very small town late night in Austin. And, I know we used to have, like, Cats, 24 diners, no longer 24. To me, it's there's nowhere to go eat late at night or early in the morning besides a Denny's. There's also, like, all the HEBs close at 9, 10 o'clock, sometimes 11 on weekends. Even CVS's and Walgreens close early. Now, the one on campus, I think, is 24, but when I've been in other areas that aren't suburbs, like if I've stayed in downtown Houston, like they had the Disco Kroger forever, or which was the all night one.
Right.
Austin doesn't have any late night stuff. If I need to run and get something, be it medical, be it grocery, be it a snack, there's nothing late. There's no late night places anymore. And I know there's very few, but compared to other cities, it's just kind of lacking. And it's like, but what? Why? It's just weird and bothers me because I'm a night owl. I'm a late night person. I also like shopping and doing things at night. And it's kind of a bummer.
Yep.
Is it just because we're such a drunk city that businesses decided they don't want to deal with drunks? Is it just too expensive to keep a place on and open?
There are so many food trucks in the bar areas that a lot of people's food needs get served there. And I think that hurt a lot of the 24-hour diners and such, is that they're competing with so many businesses that are even closer to the bars because they're literally in The bars.
When
right?
back in the day, it was just Rapallo's Pizza and the Bratwurst.
That was it.
God, the Bratwurst place was great.
Mm. Yeah.
I
so
feel like a lot of places too have dialed back their hours since you know the pandemic. One to save money, and two, well, basically just to save money.
Well, yeah, you do save money. I mean, there are even like liquor stores and car dealerships where people are like you should. We're going to fight for you to be open 7 days a week, and they're like, no, we don't want to be open 7 days a week. But when it really hit me, you know, I'm not staying out late and partying as much. So there's not as much of a need to go eat out late at night. Man, there used to be an Asian place on like Lamar and Rutherford that was like an Asian fish food place that was open 24.
Yeah, it was TJ's.
I don't remember,
TC's. I remember what you're talking about.
It had
the fish in the big tanks, right?
Yeah. And they were all just playing cards and drinking wine.
I knew about that place because everybody who was a chef in this town, that's where they all went to eat when they were done with side work and shutting down a restaurant and they were hungry. That's where they would go eat.
But where it really hit me was when I needed to go to a Walgreens. I was like, there's no Walgreens open after 9. This is dumb.
Yeah.
What else are we missing?
Well, this is the weird thing is that as we started talking about this on the other show, we got in and we realized we just could not break our brains away from the idea of food. And I'm sure we have other needs. There's other stuff we could use here in the city.
Yeah.
But services for the poor. But our brain just kept going back to food over again.
I don't know, maybe some more police or something like that. That'd be kind of good. I know they're not the best necessarily,
but we need some. Yeah, but I do think that I could use more a family, this is a food thing still, but family restaurants. Now, I know you're going to say, well, there's places you can go with your family, but
Kalahari, baby.
Well, a place where you can take where your kids like being there. That's not a Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Sure, yeah.
But there aren't. I mean, we are a city that is really focused on young single 20 and 30 somethings, and it's also focused on some older folk. But
and you have like a Whole Foods that has like you can eat outside, and they have a jungle gym for the kids. But it's like Lord of the Flies, and it's always packed.
Yeah.
So you're saying
it's like,
more...
It's like going to a dog bar, you know, a dog park, a bunch of kids there.
But other than that, I mean, I do think it's funny because if we had the same topic 20 years ago, we would have had a lot more needs. Things really have filled in as we have grown so quickly.
I'd say more bureaucratic infrastructure.
No, got plenty of that.
Well, I know, but if you ever have to do anything in Austin... Like, get a building permit if you're doing something in your house.
You mean
like
just actual more employees
functioning
working there.
Yes, yeah. Okay, and that goes not just on the city level, but also on the state level. We're the state capital, and I know it's already going to be inefficient.
Right.
But, you know, the state's one of the biggest employers, and so is the city. And it is impossible. If you have to take a day or two if you have to do those kind of, if you have to go to permit offices or do these sort of things.
You know what I'd love to see us do? Take the buses. Take the size of the bus and make it a third of the
public transportation.
Make it a third of the size that it is now, and then increase
the buses,
but the frequency that they show up. The biggest problem right now is there are large buses, but if I want to hop on a bus, it's every 30
minutes.
You're
going to wait an hour or two,
And then when I get to my next stop, if I don't have an exact crossover, then I'm going to wait another 30, and it's going to take me an hour and a half to get across town. And that's one of the reasons people are not regularly using public transportation.
We
just don't
that.
Have the frequency.
Number one, even Houston, Dallas, like big cities with big cars have fantastic, better public transportation than we do.
If you were to take and give us much smaller buses, but then give me a bus every 10 minutes, I'm much more likely to use the bus.
And I know some of the techs are coming in, like a baseball team or an NBA team or a football team. Listen, we don't need a baseball team. I don't know if we can support it. Baseball can't support itself in big cities.
Wouldn't the Austin Grackles be pretty cool to go
maybe,
watch, though?
And for football, we got UT. UT's the big thing. I'm happy with Austin FC. Maybe an NBA team in the future, but right now, I would just like a bus that goes to the airport. Airport. Just give me... That's the thing. Better way to get to the airport. Weigh in as well. What does Austin need? What do we need? 835-1015. Text us or at CJ Morgan Show. You better be washing your cheese.
The internet has never been so easy.
The internet. Welcome to the internet where we discuss things happening online and cheese washing is the new thing. Guys, do you wash your shredded cheese before eating it?
Do I wash my shredded cheese?
Yeah.
I don't want shredded cheese. That's absurd.
Before we discuss, let's get into the new quote-unquote social media trend of people washing their shredded cheese before use. You wash it in a colander, rinse off the water, and then dry it on a paper towel. But let's hear this TikToker telling us all about it.
We're going to wash the shredded cheese. Let's make it taste better.
Washing something off of there.
Huh? It is cloudy coming off of there.
Yeah.
Look at the difference.
You can see the difference. Look at that.
Now you can actually feel all that stuff on this cheese.
Now you're thinking about it, you feel it.
It feels so much cleaner. It's more smoother than this cheese right here.
Yeah, either these people are insane or they're doing a bit.
No. Well, shredded cheese is covered in potato starch.
Yes.
It's gross. It's a non-clumping agent. It's why
that keeps it from packing together. And that's what is making the water look cloudy.
Right. It's a potato starch. It's like putting corn starch or something in water. But can I say this?
But you also don't have to.
You
it
can get
doesn't
your own
alter it that much.
Get your block of cheese and shred it. Right.
I mean, that's what I was going to head on. Is that you can buy a grater for $3.99 in a block of cheese. It doesn't make any difference. The price is the same per weight. It really is. I understand that there's the quick convenience, but
Block cheese comes with the WIC items, so sometimes it's cheaper.
It takes very little effort to grate your own cheese, and it's nicer.
It
feels good. It's of barely any prep time because you're like,
the only workout I get.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, wet cheese is more gross than cornstarch cheese. I don't want wet cheese. And
aren't you supposed to dry it off after, I would assume?
Yeah,
just put it in the boiling pot and boil up some cheese.
Sure. And last but not least,
you know.
When it comes to this cheesiness, shredded cheese is melted. When are you ever eating shredded cheese that's not melted? What, on a salad maybe?
Taco.
But even on a taco, it kind of melts a little. Like, I know it's on the lettuce, but, you know, shredded cheese is designed to be melted. So the melt takes care of the starch goo, right? Are we all in agreement of this?
Yeah, I mean, the starch goo isn't going to hurt you. It really isn't. Just like I said, it's to keep the cheese from sticking to itself.
Yeah.
But,
so the point, there's no point to doing this in the first place,
yeah,
I guess.
Good luck washing your cheese if you like doing it. Next up, happening on the internet, a glitch deleted Philadelphia from Instagram and Facebook. Millions are dead or missing as we speak. And here in Austin, there is a new firefighter robot invented by University of Texas students.
What does that mean?
There's a new robot that they built at UT that is to protect and assist firefighters. Currently, it's obviously just a prototype, and it's to assist with search and rescue in dangerous situations.
Yeah.
It's a tiny little bot. You see, it can crawl around. It doesn't have, like, a fire extinguisher on it, but I believe it's essentially when you have a structure that's beginning to collapse or the smoke or heat's too dangerous.
Oh, he's a suicide bot.
He's a suicide bot. You send him in to find people.
Man.
I appreciate on how it works, whatever, but can I ask a practical question?
Yeah.
What month of the fireman's calendar will the firefighting bot get?
Yeah, let me see a picture of that bot. How sexy
is it? Doesn't have abs yet, but it does have those little, like, rotor tank treads and some pretty big arm treads.
If it becomes aware, it's going to be like, why am I different than these firefighters
I don't think this bot's going to work for the ladies. And the whole point of even having firefighters is for the calendar, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. My buddy's a firefighter, and I have another friend that's in the academy. And I was driving by, and I saw, you know, there's a wreck the other day in 183, and there was, like, this scrawny little firefighter dude. He had his little mustache, and he was little. You could tell he was the little one out of the firefighters, but as I passed by, his, like, arms were just cannons. And I was like, God damn, those firefighters.
I do remember the time
calendar.
We had a fire in our house, and there was a large fire, a scary fire in my previous house, where the fire department had to come. And I do remember my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, wasn't even my fiance at the time, but I remember her going from panicking and crying and just, you know, like, because there was the fire was up the wall, across the ceiling, engulfing an entire room. And I remember her just crying and screaming and then trying to get out of the house. And then the firemen showed up and kicked in the door with their bulging, hulking. And then she went from just quickly, like, you could tell that she was trying to primp and fix her hair and look cute for the fire, and I was like,
melting
really?
Makeup on.
I was like, what is this all about?
Fireman.
Congrats to California.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird
or wired.
If it's weird or it's wired, we're going to talk about it here.
Hey, I know in a place like Austin, it's not really cool to applaud your hands for California because I guess it's cool now in Austin to hate California, but I don't really hate California.
They're ruining our city by moving here.
I really don't hate any of the states, and I don't hate my fellow countrymen.
Visit California. It's pretty rad.
It's beautiful.
It's great.
I do want to congratulate California, though, because I think they're making some first steps in what's going to be a great thing for the rest of us. Nearly every day for the last 6 weeks, California's electric grid has run for some time during the day simply on clean energy sources, solar, wind, geothermal, hydroelectric. And last week, on one of the days, they went 9.25 hours using only renewable energy.
Sweet.
That is a huge state with a huge population, larger even than Texas's. And guess what? 39 million Californians went about their daily lives doing laundry, charging their electric cars, being pompous and better than us. And did it all on 100% clean energy for more than 9 hours. Yeah.
Texas has been doing a pretty good job.
Texas is doing great about
wind and solar as well.
Texas is doing great. But what this is showing us, one of the issues we always have with clean energy was its reliability and would we ever get enough clean energy infrastructure in to be able to really make a dent and make a difference.
And
this
listen,
is showing
I'm still,
that we're getting there.
I'm still fine with the diversification of
Absolutely.
Also making sure we still have coal-fired plants, we have natural gas. Like, I'm fine with all that, but we've seen there have been a lot of problems in Texas, and solar and wind have really
full disclosure
out.
I paid my way through college because of the oil industry. I worked on oil rigs. I had family that was in oil. I have zero problems with oil.
It just
what
can't
I
be the
know,
only thing.
Well, our population has doubled since I was a kid, and it's only going to double again and probably double after that.
Just like your body. Since
exactly.
you were a kid, it doubled
exactly.
and then doubled again and doubled
hey,
after that.
My poor genes. The point I'm trying to make is that without that diversification, here's what's going to happen. It's going to start costing you $100 every other day to fill up the tank of your car because gasoline is going to get so expensive. It's
because
going
we're
to
using
cost
it for
you,
other things. It'll
it's
be
going
cheap,
to cost you $600, $700, $800, $900 to run the AC in your one or two bedroom apartment. It's going to get outrageously expensive just because of the competition. The nice thing,
lack of competition makes it more expensive.
And the lack of resources.
So, yeah.
By being able to diversify, this is a really good sign for us in the future and our livability. The one thing that scares me still in the Central Texas area is the huge need that we have for water. As we increase our population over and over again, we are finding that we have less and less water, and that is coupled with some decades-long droughts.
And they're saying we're going to become, they've said this for decades now, like even climate change worsening aside, believe what you will about that, whatever, but they have predicted for long, since I was in high school, that South Texas would become a semi-arid
right.
climate.
Yes.
That this area, Central Texas, that's just going to happen because where I grew up, even though it's a very conservative area, water conservation was a big thing because in the Panhandle and the Ogallala Aquifer, like we have the Edwards
yes.
here, there's a lot of crops that we depend on that our cattle industry depend on, that fuel that we grow, and we need that water. And it was a big subject of conversation
right. well,
that we've kind of forgot about.
You find that anytime you have politics involved in anything environmental, that politics will go away very quickly when it involves people's livelihoods. I mean, you talk about wetland conservation. Some places people say that's ridiculous. We should be able to build big resorts here. In certain places, like in South Louisiana, where entire industries depend on fishing, especially if we're talking big old Bubba, you know, redneck. They very much want to protect the wetlands because they realize their entire livelihoods and their family's livelihoods and, you know, the livelihoods that their grandparents had and they want their grandchildren to have really depend on
that. So how's building a big-ass windmill going to help?
Well, and I'm not trying to even bring this up for the politics. I'm bringing that because this is a really good sign for the future. If a state
to keep things affordable
like California
for us
can start getting up to 9 hours, that means that this should start to accelerate beyond that. And very quickly, in the next couple of years, we may be seeing a full day,
not to
two
mention,
days a week, 3 days a week. And that's when we're going to see all the costs for this stuff really start to drop precipitously.
And we can sell it. We can actually make money by selling the excess electricity to other states and
especially
stuff like that.
Especially if that electricity starts posing in like G-strings. It's working for so many OnlyFans models.
Did you know? Your very own body contains gold. There's gold in them there.
Veins.
Chunky hills. It's only about 0.2 milligrams of gold. But that's about a penny's worth of gold. So you're always worth something.
Is that
guys.
Including the is that from your teeth or just somewhere else?
I think just chunks of stuff in your body. Maybe you ate it at some point. Maybe you were related to pirates. Maybe just you know how people bite gold to make sure it's real. No clue.
What if you're drinking lots of Goldschlager?
And that too.
Just chugging
those
it.
Have the little
little flakes.
Dude, it's got flakes in it. Always a good alcoholic beverage to take a shot of before getting in your car.
Yeah.
That or Rumplemints.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Don't
Delicious.
Do that. There you go. Did you know? You're gold. You're worth something.
Did you know?
Did we know?
In East Africa, people with albinism are stigmatized and persecuted due to the belief that they possess magical powers. This is kind of stunning. People will kidnap children with albinism and then... Well, they're not...
Turn them into wizards?
They're turned into not living people, is what I'm trying to say. Because they'll use their body ingredients to make potions.
Gold.
Look, this sounds like something from, I don't know, the 1400s. In 2006, 75 humans were snatched up and then done away with so that people could use their hair, teeth, skin to make these potions for good health.
And you know what sucks is when you see a lot of this stuff, it's for like boner pills and Vitality. And
it's like cannibalism.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's kind of horrendous.
Well, thanks for the depressing did you know. We're also doing it to help.
I got a slightly happier one if you guys want to hear about it.
Okay.
Did you know the Empire State Building? You guys heard of this? This big, tall building in New York. Lots of people tried jumping off of it suicidally. I don't know if that's a word. But in 1979, a woman named Elvita Adams jumped from the 86th floor of the Empire State Building only to be blown back onto a ledge on the 85th floor by
a powerful wind.
Huge gust of wind.
That's when you know, hey... Things are special.
Why don't you get bumped back on that ledge, my friend?
She survived with a broken hip.
Oh, well, I'm glad. You know, I kind of want to follow up and see how her life was, but we'll do that another day because Did You Know doesn't ask questions. It just reads, Did You Know? Jameson is the number one Irish whiskey in the United States. I think that's probably obvious from the marketing, the advertising. You see it, you hear it everywhere. Also, it's popular with bartenders. But... It outsells every other brand combined. Bushmills is second. Jameson outsells them by 1,300%. It is by far absolutely the number one top Irish whiskey. But
as someone who used to do some work for Jameson, which state consumes the most Jameson?
Texas?
Yeah, baby.
There we go. It'd be interesting to see where it compares with like other blended Scotch whiskeys and stuff just in the whole pantheon. But it's real popular, and I remember... Back in the day at the radio station, a friend of mine got me a job interview with a distributor that does spirits.
Right.
And I went into that job and I knew the brands. I had a plan. I was like ready to go. I probably wasn't quite ready as a CJ to go and work and be a sales brand rep for liquors. But I went in that interview. I wowed them. I impressed them. I knew all this stuff. I had a plan. And then at some point, the guy interviewing me was like, yeah, well... You know, those are all Maker's Mark, Jameson. Those are all our good brands. Like, we have no problem selling that. So what you just said is fine and all, but, you know, that those sell themselves. We need to know how you're going to just completely turn it. And I was like, I would build relationships with...
Man, before you feel bad about losing it, I'm going to tell you...
I'm very happy I did. I would not have been good at that. I'm not hot.
You know why? I was going to say, they really like very attractive women.
Yeah, so. It's two types. It's the very bro-y, douchey wakeboard guys. Not even wakeboard guys. More like kind of a...
Sounds like someone's envious he doesn't have a wakeboard.
Or yeah, it's cute women that do that. And
cute
I would
girls.
Not have been a good liquor brand rep. And
did
I'm glad.
You know?
Did we know?
There's an ongoing dispute between Canada and the USA. It's been going on for... hundreds of years.
Oh.
Is it a boat or about?
Over the Machias Seal Island. Anyone born on the island is entitled to claim dual citizenship in both countries.
Whoa.
Here's the thing. There's only one building on the island. I don't know how you're getting born on that island. It's just this weird island. I don't even understand why. Why are we fighting Canada over this island? It's just sitting out there. There's nothing going on in the island.
Give it to them.
Yeah.
They need Let some
have
more
Hey,
things.
Can
yeah.
I drop an anchor baby there? Like, if I was going to have a kid and I wanted to make sure to have Canadian citizenship just in case, can you do that?
Yeah, because the baby would have dual citizenship.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't. That's okay, man.
Which means that your baby could get away from you faster.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Are they born with those little weird mouths, the heads that pop on the mouths?
Yeah.
In South Park?
Sorry.
He may not be the first wannabe comedian in Austin, but he is the finest. The CJ Morgan Show on 101X.